From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz-Peña with your state and local news update. After nearly 2 weeks, the Alaska court system's email came back online today, but other services are still down after a cyber attack last month. The disruption has limited public access and further complicated court operations already backlogged by the pandemic. KTOO's Matt Miller has this story.
Court staff, judges, and attorneys are finding ways to adapt while also reverting to a few old routines in place before development of the internet. Angie Kemp is the district attorney, or the state's top prosecutor, for Juneau and Sitka.
We've walked back a lot of the strides that we made to adapt to COVID, going back to the more traditional way of doing things.
Such as physically carrying documents down to the clerk's office in the basement of the Juneau courthouse, or dusting the cobwebs off of a fax machine to send documents to other attorneys and judges in the region.
One of the interesting aspects about this is fax were becoming kind of antiquated technology, and so I think the court system was sort of cycling those out, fax machines out. I know from speaking to some of their IT folks that they've had to scramble a bit to get those things back in place.
The state's relatively new electronic filing system is shut down, which has caused problems with attorneys and local police departments statewide. The cyber attack discovered April 29th effectively disabled that and other Alaska court system functions accessible through the internet. The connection has been severed, so a cybersecurity contractor can eliminate any malware and prevent further breaches. In addition to electronic filing, the CourtView case tracking system used to check someone's history in state courts is also disconnected. No more online payments for bail and fees. The disruption also shut down communication with clerks, judges, or their staff by court system email. Court staff were communicating with alternative Gmail accounts or messaging services. Court calendars initially were inaccessible, though some courthouses posted calendars on dedicated Facebook pages. Now they're going to a new, separate web page. Kemp says they've returned to physically transporting defendants from jail to the courthouse. And to keep many cases moving, judges are holding more teleconferenced hearings. During the pandemic, the court shifted to video conferenced court hearings. That's not possible right now. Same for live streaming hearings through YouTube. Robert Henderson is Assistant Professor of Legal Studies at the University of Alaska Anchorage's Justice Center.
One of the things that I think the court system is doing relatively well is it started to shift in using technology well to accommodate the pandemic with the cyber attack. That's really impacted their ability to do that.
For example, someone's credibility is easier to determine during video conferenced testimony.
We humans, we routinely communicate through nonverbal cues, both in emphasis and, you know, manner and delivery and the like. And video conferencing allows the trier of fact, meaning the judge, allows the judge to assess credibility in a way that he or she can't do that on a telephone, at least not as well.
Alaska Supreme Court Chief Justice Joel Bolger says malware infected a half a dozen computers. Some operated essential online services during the pandemic, like email filing and video conferencing.
Not being able to do those things for a few days, I'm sure, has disrupted our operations a little bit and has been an inconvenience to our customers.
The court system's email came back online Tuesday. Bolger says other online services will be restored individually over the next several days.
Right now, we're just trying to assess the extent of the damage and see if we can reopen safely.
Bolger says they did not receive a message or ransom demand from someone claiming to launch the attack, and they don't know the motive, but state and federal law enforcement authorities have been notified. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
In other news, looking for a way to help their parents figure out how to stay afloat during the pandemic, two born and raised Skagwegians have developed an e-commerce website for Alaskan businesses. And though they started small, the momentum is gaining. KHNS's Mike Swayze has this story.
People in Skagway might know the co-founder and CEO of Voyage.com, Olivia Klupar, from the restaurant Olivia's that was named after her on Broadway Street. She started Voyage.com, spelled V-O-Y-I-J.com, in 2014 as a way to sell tours in Skagway. But 5 years later, it underwent a transformation to become an e-commerce website, kind of like an Amazon.com, but for Alaskan businesses, that continues to sell tours and help people choose travel destinations, while also now selling products to would-be travelers that are stuck at home. According to Clupar, the website has spread from Southeast Alaska to the rest of the state.
So we're now working with businesses in Anchorage and all the way. We have a business on our site in North Pole, all the way down to Seward and on the Kenai Peninsula.
She and her brother Greg noticed that during the global pandemic shutdown, businesses in Southeast Alaska were shuttered because of the complete lack of tourism. And they set out to find a way to help those stores move the products that are collecting dust on their shelves.
So we started that with my parents, and then we said, wow, well, if my parents are having this challenge, I'm sure other businesses are having this challenge.
Greg Clupar went to school for computer science and built the online platform. Each business has its own secure login, and they can upload photos of their products. From there, the Clupars help market those products. Once a sale is made, the business is notified, and Voyage.com processes the payment. It's free to join Voyage. The website makes their revenue by taking a percentage of each sale rather than charging a hosting fee.
It's been such a terrible 2 years, and I think that there's a huge opportunity to drive real revenue to local communities, and it's going to be online for this year just because there isn't not a substantial amount of travel.
This year, the Skagway-based company has signed partnership deals with both Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines and Norwegian Cruise Lines. They have become the official online retail site for the Iditarod and continue a partnership with Buy Alaska, which is run through the Small Business Development Center of Alaska. With the recent marketing blasts by the cruise ship industry, sales have seen a sharp increase.
You just put it up and you start selling. I mean, this one email that we sent on Monday, six new businesses had their first sale ever on Voyage just from the one email. And I want there to be a lot of firsts this year.
The online platform is designed to allow small businesses to control as much or as little of the website as they want.
We do a full training. It takes about 30 minutes to an hour to get them up and selling right away from our site. From there, they can go ahead and add their own products if they want in their own time, or if they need extra help, we are more than happy to step in.
For now, the company sits at about 150 Alaska businesses on their roster, and they plan to stay focused on Alaska businesses. Cruise ships are scheduled to make their return to Alaskan waters in 2022. The Clupar siblings are hoping to see businesses in Alaska stay afloat for now and thrive once tourism returns. Reporting from Skagway, I'm Mike Swayze.
And in politics, the Alaska House passed the operating budget bill yesterday. The budget includes most of what Governor Mike Dunleavy proposed for state agencies, but it doesn't include funding for permanent fund dividends. Members of the mostly Democratic House Majority Caucus say they expect to fund PFDs in a separate bill. Nome Democratic Representative Neil Foster says he's comfortable working out any remaining budget issues with senators.
This is largely a flat budget compared to last year. It seeks to protect and enhance some important public services like transportation, like education. And at the same time, we've taken advantage of the American Rescue Plan funds that are coming to the state that'll help Alaskans to deal with this global pandemic.
The budget vote came the same day that news from the federal government raised a new potential budget problem. It appears that Alaska will receive roughly $200 million less in COVID relief than House members planned. That's because it appears that Alaska will be among the states that will have half of their American Rescue Plan Act money withheld for a year. Nikiski Republican Representative Ben Carpenter voted no.
I think we missed an opportunity to address our savings. We missed an opportunity to use the federal dollars to help us with making those structural changes. We missed the opportunity to help reduce our budget.
The largest change that passed added $3.5 million to fund public assistance workers. Dunleavy's administration anticipates eliminating the positions due to a shift to online applications for public benefits. For more on this and other news stories, go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.